Coming, there is a book on the Bima. If anybody wants to follow along, it makes it much easier. We're going to begin in 3, 2, 1.
Go. Give it an intro. Did you start? Okay, no intro this week. Okay, welcome everyone to the class. You're such a funny guy. This is the 9th class, and it's so good to see everyone here. Some new faces, some familiar faces. This class is going to be for the success and growth of a very special person, Ronit Orly Bat Nurit, for her and her family, and for the success of me and my family, Daniel Dov Ben Mordechai, and of course for the success and growth of everybody in this room. Refuah Shlema for Chana Bat Chaya Sara, Gabriela Bat Sara, Chaya Dorit Bat Geula, Chana Bat Sara, Ilanit Bat Lea, and Refuah Shlema for Gabriel Ben Miriam, Meir Yisrael Ben Revia, Esther, Yosef Ben Miriam, Oz Ben Michal, Rose Bat Tzadika, Ronan Ben Rachel, Bosh Ben Orly, Chaya Bat Rachel, Yonatan Ben Natalie, Chaim Ben Asher, Chana Bat Sara, Chana Bat Dorva, Yaakov Ben Alis, and Leilu Nishma, Daniel Mordechai Ben Regina, Daniel Ben Masuda, Shaul Aryeh Ben Simcha, Ronan Ben Rachel, Esther Titi Batrina, Reb Shmayahu Ben Reb Avraham Weinschneider, Ephraim Menachem Mendel, Ben Yitzchak Yaakov Yablonovich, and for the finding of Zivug of Yehonatan Shmuel Ben Rachel, and of course, everybody in this room who needs one. Amen. Okay, thank you so much, everyone, for coming tonight. It's really good to see everybody. Usually, every single week, for all the new people, we start with a nice little intro with a different topic every week, and for this week, I prepared the topic of Lashon Hara. Of course, to those of you who may or may not know, Lashon Hara is speaking ill of the person around you, but more so than just speaking ill of another person, Lashon Hara is also trying to use your mouth to speak positively about other people. Because I'm sure everybody can see in their own life and in their own life experience how much a word can really affect a person for the positive or for the negative. We see many times in Shiduchim where a person can give an advice to someone or you can ask, oh, I'm about to go out with this person. Should I do it? Should I not? And you could see right away where if you say something positive or say something negative, it makes a world of an impact. Same thing in business if you want to start working with someone. And really with every single detail in our life. It says in Sefer Shmiat HaLashon by the Chafetz Chaim that a person's self-image, the way they see themselves, is malleable based upon the fact of what people say to them. So you can see many times where you can say one positive thing to a person and that person can feel the energy to completely go and to conquer the world and to become successful. Or you can say a negative thing to a person, God forbid, and that can completely crush and destroy a person. And we see here how important it is to use our words wisely. The Pasuk says, Nitzu leshonecha mera, usfatecha medabim ima, asu mera, vaase tov, bakesh shalom ve'adfeu. We have to always guard our lips because as Jewish people, the power of a Jewish person is in their mouth. What we use our mouth to do has incredible impact and incredible power. We can use our mouth to speak to Hashem, to speak to our friends positively, to speak to the person we're going out with, to the person we're married to positively, and not to be cheap with our words because words are free. And it actually says in Sefer Shmiat HaLashon, oh, it's very hot in this room, the AC is broken. Kaparat avonot. It says in Sefer Shmiat HaLashon that if someone comes to you and wants to speak to you ill about somebody else, or if you have a second thought, should I say this negative thing? Should I keep in the gossip? The same way that a person holds it in Midah Kineged Midah and Shamayim, when the Yetzer Hara or the Satan is coming to Mekatreg, he's coming to Hashem and saying, oh look, you want to send this person a shiduch or a really good job or a raise or whatever it is, but look at what they're doing. The same way Hashem is going to hold himself back when the Satan is coming to speak ill about a person. And it goes so far to the point where the Vilna Gaon brings down that, of course, after a person passes away, they show you your life, they show you what you did in this world, what you accomplished, both for the positive and for the negative. And the Vilna Gaon writes that when a person passes away, you see your mitzvot and you see your averot. Now, if a person doesn't speak Lashon Hara and they focus on themselves to become great, how do you become great? By looking inside of yourself, by connecting to Hashem, and by doing all the inner work. That is increasing your soul and making you like a magnet to bring good into your life. When a person does that, many times in life, people will speak negatively about that person. Oh, look at him, he's starting to go to shiur. Or look at her, she wants to start dressing modestly, organizing classes. People like to say negative things about when someone's trying to do something good for some reason. There's actually a reason behind it, but we'll get into that a different day. And when you go in your life and you start to do good and positive things and people speak ill about you, they're actually transferring all their mitzvot to you and you're transferring all your averot to them. And when you speak ill about someone else, of course, it goes the same way. It goes to the fact that after a person passes away, one of the questions they ask you is, what's your name? Now, of course, if a person speaks ill about other people, he's going to have all these sins on his record that he didn't even do. And he's going to say, I don't know my name because I thought my name was Jonathan, but it says here that it's Shmuel, it says here that it's David, it says here that it's, what do you call it? All these different names in the person's record that he's like, I don't even remember my name. But it actually goes on the other end too, where if a person doesn't speak ill about other people and they speak ill about you, you're also not going to remember your name because you see all these mitzvot that you never did. Oh, you donated 5,000 to the yeshiva. I didn't do that. Oh, you learned in the kollel for 20 years. I didn't do that. So you see how it goes hand in hand. That's why it's so important where a person should learn the pasuk of their name so they remember it. After that, when you finish Shmona Esrei, you should know the pasuk of your name. 3 times a day, you remember it, you recite it, so you'll remember this name. But just to really elaborate on that, speech is a very powerful thing. And I've seen in my life many times where if you hold yourself back, it says that if a person specifically is looking to get married, I know a rabbi that he's seen over 380 couples, it's probably more now, that were made when they both individually started learning about Shmirat HaLashon. Because the way we speak to people is basically marriage 101. The man plants the seed, and the woman, like the earth, nurtures the seed. You give your wife one good word, she'll give you a world of heaven in return. Because as the saying goes, happy wife, happy life. And it goes measure for measure, where if a person, God forbid, gives their wife one bad word, they're going to get a world of hell in return. We see how important it is to speak to the people around us positively, specifically our spouse, because we are in charge as men to not just be the providers, to not just go to learn and to pray and etc., but to also be the caretaker of the woman's heart. And to the extent that we take care of the woman's heart and we appreciate Hashem for the fact that He gave us the spouse and to find the good points in her and etc., this is to the extent that we will have a very good life. And it doesn't just start when you're married, it starts at home. To recognize that if a person has a difficulty with the relationship with their parents, you chose this family. Before a person comes into this world, they ask you, which family do you want to be a part of? You chose this family. You chose this life. That's why complaining is really a foolish thing to do, because you chose this life. Obviously, Hashem gave it to you for a reason, because it's the best possible tikkun for you. And sometimes in a person's life, when they feel like it's overwhelming and they can't deal with it anymore, and why is this happening to me, etc. No, it's actually the opposite. Hashem gave you this exact specific life, exactly what you're growing through right now, because this is what you need to overcome your tikkun. And when you feel like you don't have the strength in you to keep pushing anymore, and you don't have the strength to keep moving forward, it's the opposite. That is exactly your purpose and your tikkun. And I'll tell you a personal thing. Sometimes, you know, even for me it's hard. Sometimes it's hard for me to prepare a class or to come in to give a class or to come in to always, you know, come and to give to the world and to be my best self. It's not easy. Life is the farthest thing from easy. It's really giving false hope to people to say, oh, everything's going to be amazing, just trust Hashem. Trusting Hashem is a lifelong work. Trusting Hashem is a lifelong process. And that was the whole reason why we started these classes to begin with, to really show to people that this, obviously up until now, you saw that if a person thinks that they could do anything, you see that sometimes when you try to really do your best in situations, it might not work out the way you want it to work out. But the beauty of trusting Hashem and putting it on Hashem is that you tell Hashem, Hashem, I thought that I could fix this relationship, but I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. I thought that I could make money, but I can't. I don't know what I'm doing. And to really remove the word I from our vocabulary. The more that we think that we can do anything, or that we have any idea of what's going on, or that we have any sort of capability to fix things or to make things happen or to bring things to ourselves, it's the farthest thing from the truth. Our conversation with Hashem should be, Hashem, this is how I'm feeling, this is what I want to happen, but to release the control. To release the control at the end of the prayer. And specifically when it comes to marriage, to say, Hashem, I really think this person is good for me, but if it's meant to be, let it be. If not, then take it away from me. And of course, in business, I really want this business to work out. I really want this job to work out. I really want to get this raise. I want to use the money for the right purposes. But if it's not good for me, then I don't want to have it. It's so important to give the control back to Hashem. And I've seen in my personal life, time and time again, that sometimes for months even, I can be saying, Hashem, but I want this. I want it to work out this way. Please give it to me. Look at how good it is for me, etc. But the moment that a person releases the control and says, Hashem, only you can fix it. Only you can do it. Only you can navigate it. It's so much easier to sleep at night. It's so relieving for a person when you're trying to control things so much and you're trying to make things go a certain way, but you release the control. all of a sudden you feel relaxed, you feel at calm, you feel at ease, you feel happiness because you're giving the control back to your Creator. And again, it is not an easy work to trust Hashem. It is not an easy work to have a relationship with Hashem. Sometimes we can be going through such difficult things in our life and the person can have so many things not going their way. And sometimes even when you see specifically when you try to grow and try to make yourself better, things are just so confusing and so hard. That's why we have to go back to the basics. And to go back to the basics is to say, Hashem, I trust you, and even though I don't feel that I trust you, I'm going to do my best to trust you. And on milvado, I want to have emunah and bitachon, I want to be closer to you, and I want to have a relationship with you. I said this before and I'll say it again, if there's one book that you choose to commit yourself to for 10 minutes a day to really study and learn, it's the Sefer of Shara Bitachon. We could have picked Mesilat Yesharim, we could have picked to do Halachot, we could have picked to do Gemara, we could have picked so many beautiful Musar books, but we specifically picked to do Shara Bitachon because this book will change your life. Reminding yourself every single day that there is a Creator in the world and He's doing everything for the best and He loves you and He's navigating your life and you have to do nothing but to just do your best and whatever you can do, that can change a person's life. And you see so many times where I thought I wanted to do this and it didn't work out for some reason and I saw later, oh my God, I'm so happy I didn't do that. Person has to remember emunah bitachon is a muscle. You can come to this class and leave the class feeling, wow, I trust Hashem, everything is amazing, my emunah is all of a sudden at 100%. But then you wake up tomorrow morning and it hits you, boom, wait, what just happened? I just felt so amazing and now I feel horrible all of a sudden. That's because emunah bitachon is a muscle. The same way, if you stop going to the gym, you're going to lose your gains. If you stop training emunah bitachon, it's going to go down. One day it could be 100%, and in 2 days from now, the emunah can drop completely to zero. Because a person has to constantly work on emunah bitachon. The words of talking to Hashem and learning Torah should be constantly on a person's lips. You should constantly be thinking about Hashem, talking to Hashem. Oh. Mazal tov to David and Danielle. They just got engaged. Round of applause. You see, you trust Hashem, you get your soulmate. 1 + 1, 2. Very simple. So Baruch, huh? Let's go. All the singles should find their soulmate this year. And to recognize, you see, now you met your other half. Tell me the truth. Did you find her or God found her? You see, 100%. You found him or Hashem brought him to you? That's it. You don't have to say. You can say, no, I found him. You see, Baruch Hashem, when a person really trusts Hashem. And by the way, I know David from before he met you. And I can tell you, just for the men to know this, sometimes when the soulmate didn't come yet, it's because it's not meant to come yet. You don't want to eat a fruit before it's ripe. It says in the Gemara, kola docheket ha-sha'a, sha'a docheket oto. If you're going to push something before its proper time, it's going to push you right back. To say thank you that I'm not married yet. Thank you that my soulmate's not in my life yet. And I'll tell you, I know David from before he met you, literally. And this guy works on himself constantly. He told me himself, we did a whole podcast when I first moved to Miami. He's been keeping Shabbat and wearing tzitzit and learning and praying in 3 minyanim a day. So you really got a gem of a guy. And Bezrat Hashem, my blessing to you, if I can even do one, is that you guys should have a long, a healthy, a successful life, a beautiful marriage to bring kids to this world and to raise them in the ways of Hashem. And David, I promise you, all your efforts didn't go unnoticed. At the end of all your hard work, Hashem gave you a beautiful prize that you should forever be grateful for. So just to wrap up about Lashon Hara, it is so important to watch our mouth, to watch how we speak, to watch how we speak to our friends, to watch how we speak to people, because the way that God runs the world is measure for measure. If a person, God forbid, says one bad thing to a person, it's going to come back and it's going to come back and bite you know where, who knows how long later. But if you do your best to be there for the people around you, to speak positively to them, and to use your mouth to do good things and to do positive things, measure for measure, it will come back to you, and Hashem will bring it back to you. Because when God sends us difficult people in our life, it's not the time to push them away. It's a time to understand where they're coming from, to give them love and compassion, to have empathy for them, to hold space for them, and to bring them up. So in Sefer Shara Bitachon, we're on page 55. Everyone who has the book, and we're going to start from there. And again, to anyone who's just joining, The whole idea of giving out the Sefer to everybody is that I'm going to read through it and explain what we're saying, but I want everybody to whisper the words to themselves silently, almost like you're in the Amidah. Because the strength of this is that when you read the words to yourself silently, you're sowing the words on your soul. And Baruch Hashem, through sowing the words on your soul, you're slowly, slowly wiping out everything you know until now. You're cleaning out all the hard drive and you're filling it in with brand new information. And Bezrat Hashem, with the information of the Shara Bitachon and the Torah and saying these positive things, slowly, slowly it should change a person's life. And by the way, every week I get messages from people that either attend the class or don't attend the class, listen to it on Spotify, whatever it is, that they're seeing miracles in their life. Like really, really amazing, amazing things. Because sometimes Hashem just wants to hear your voice. And the moment you say, Hashem, it's not me, it's you, you give it up to Him. Miracles can happen sometimes in the same hour, the same day, or the next day, whatever it is. But instant miracles. Because sometimes what's waiting for the cap to really blow off and for all the blessings to fill through is just for Hashem to hear that you trust Him, that you know it's not you. And even if you don't mean it, but get into a rhythm of saying it and eventually you'll believe it. That's how relationships are built. You don't meet someone and love them right away. Sometimes you do, but with Hashem, it really is a relationship that takes time. So we're on page 55 on the top. Worldly benefits of bitachon. Earlier, the author enumerated the Torah benefits of living with bitachon. These included benefits for the mind and for the neshama. Now he presents af to'elet ha-bitachon ba'olam, the benefits of bitachon in worldly ways, that is, in material ways. Mehen, among these benefits are menuchat ha-lev min ha-deagot ha-olamiyot, tranquility of the mind from the effects of worldly worries, v'ashalva min denud ha-nefesh, and calmness from disturbance of the mind, v'tzara l'cheson ta'avoteh ha-gufiyot, or the distress that could be caused by being deprived of physical pleasures. Let's say a person doesn't live with bitachon and he follows what he thinks is good for him. Then the lack of pleasures that he thinks he needs is distressful for him. But a man who lives with bitachon realizes that he's better off without them, because Hashem would have given them to him if he thought they were good for him. This man is not at all affected by the lack of some of these luxuries and pleasures that others desire so much. I'm going to stop here. I want to say a very important point. Every person in this room should ask themselves a question. What in my life makes me happy? Is it God that makes me happy, or is it something else? Because if it's coming from something else, the moment that that object ceases to exist, that love and happiness will cease to exist. Because our happiness cannot be dependent on something else. There's a pasuk, if I remember correctly, kol davar, no, ava shetuya davar, batel davar, batel ava. Every love that is dependent on something, the minute that something ceases to exist, thank you, Ariel, the minute that something ceases to exist, that love and that happiness will cease to exist. So, if a person is getting happiness from business or from their spouse or etc., whatever it is, it's very much receiving. Now, I'm not telling you not to feel happy and not to feel accomplished, not to feel good. But the main source of happiness should be from Hashem. Because when you derive the happiness from Borei Olam, it gives you so much koach to give the happiness in return. Also, another very interesting point. Sometimes in life, it's okay to just cope with the pain. Because when a person is going through pain, overwhelming amounts of pain, and believe me, I know exactly what that feels like, the whole purpose of that pain is to suck out your potential. To say, thank you Hashem for the fact that I can feel pain. Not always is the purpose of pain to smoke, to drink, to go out, whatever it is, and I'm not judging anyone who does that, of course, I understand completely. But sometimes the purpose of the pain is to sit with it and to use that pain to get you to your better self and to get you to your higher self. Because sometimes things that can relieve the pain temporarily in the moment, afterwards when all that settles down, it's just making it a lot harder in the long run. Eventually a person has to face themselves. Eventually a person has to face reality. By the way, reality is an expression of God's will. How do you make your reality better? Just get closer to Hashem. Kivat Elohim Litov. Get closer to Hashem, it's better for me. So again, the question, where is my happiness coming from? If my happiness comes from Hashem, truly, and again, you don't have to be a massive tzaddik to grasp this concept. It's a very simple knowing and understanding in your heart that I love Hashem in my heart. And when I really, really ask myself, out of everything in this world, where does my happiness lie? Where is my faith? Where is my loyalty? If it's with Hashem deep down, then I know that everything is okay. And sometimes we go through the motions of the day. 1 hour we feel like this, 1 hour we feel like that. But to know deep down that Hashem is running my life. Everything that is not here yet is not meant to be here yet. And what do I have to do? Make yourself like a magnet. Through allowing Hashem to give you good, through being positive about your life, and through thinking good and speak. This is the work of life. Working on a person's character traits is the work of life. There's no shidduch crisis nowadays. I know people think, oh, there's not enough girls, there's not enough guys. There's no shidduch crisis. There's a midot crisis. In the minute that we fix our character traits, we allow Hashem to give us so much. A person can be extremely financially successful, married to the best person, having the best life. All you have to do is get close to Hashem. Sometimes a person thinks, well, all the answers are there and there and there. No, the answer is in a book that's buried away in the corner called Shaar HaBitachon. Open the book, sit down, start reading the Torah, start reading the instructions of how to work with your brain and with your soul. You were given this brain. I don't expect you to know how to use it without reading the instruction manual. This is the instruction manual of how to live in this world. And Bezrat Hashem, that's really what it is. I want everyone to think about that. What is making me happy? And to really try to get to the point of it, to get to kind of centralize it. I want my happiness to only come from Hashem. If my happiness is coming from something that's not Hashem, why is it coming from that? Is it a lack in myself? Is it a self-esteem thing? Am I codependent, etc.? To really get to the root of the item. Avraham Avinu was the only Jew in the world. There was no Chabad house. There was no OU. There was no organizations. He was the only Jew. And then what was his name? Avraham HaIvri. He went the opposite. The whole entire world was serving idols and going and serving the sun and the moon and idol worship, etc. Avraham went the complete opposite direction and went for God. And what happened when Avraham went for God? God came with him, and that's why we're here today. So back to the Sefer. V'hu be'ashket uvitcha uvishalva ba'olam hazeh. Thus, the man lives quietly, confidently, and calmly in this world. Kemo shekatuv, as it says, Baruch ha-gever asher yiftach ba'Hashem, v'haya Hashem yiftacho. Blessed is the man, this is what we say in Birkat HaMazon, blessed is the man who trusts in Hashem, and Hashem will be his security, his serenity, his peace of mind, and etc. The reward for trusting in Hashem is that Hashem will fulfill his trust in him. That doesn't mean that this is his entire reward. There's more than that. If a person has trust in Hashem, he will certainly earn a great reward in Olam Haba. But the Chavot HaLevavot is telling us that Hashem will also reward his trust in Olam Hazeh. Ve'amar, and it says, Ve'aya ka'etz shatul alamayim. He will be like a tree planted by the waters. Ve'al yuval yishalach shorashav, which spreads out its roots along a stream. Spreading roots means that the tree is standing firmly. When a person is trusting in Hashem, he will stand more firmly in this world. Not everything is about the afterworld and getting reward there. In this world too. And again, I want everyone to think to themselves for a second. Where can I, which area in my life can I improve my emunah and bitachon in Hashem? And like, I promise you, you're going to see miracles. Because why? Because I see miracles, and anyone who starts practically trusting Hashem will see miracles. You don't have to be perfect to see miracles. You don't have to be completely doing everything that people are telling you to do and you think you have to do. No. Start trusting Hashem. Basics. Practical. Hashem, in this area, I can use a little bit more trust. And talk to Hashem about it. Express how you feel. Tell God what's going on in your life. Make God your best friend. And you're going to see, measure for measure in return, God is going to open up things for you in your life that you could have never imagined. And that's what's going to really get you to your true purpose and potential in life. A person's potential and their purpose is found through getting closer to Hashem. That's how I found my purpose. I didn't know I was going to be speaking and making content and doing all these amazing things. What did I start doing? I just started listening to Shirim online. I remember I was 18 years old. Of course, I went to yeshiva. I learned and everything. But when I really started to search for the truth and to search for the beauty of the Torah from my own heart and my own will, it put me on this path, and here we are today. Freedom from travel. Umehen. Also, among the benefits are menuchat ha-nefesh milechet bidrachim ha-rechukim. Calmness of mind that frees him from the need to go out on distant journeys. When people travel far from home, it's because they feel their livelihood will suffer if they don't go. One who lives with bitachon knows that he can get his livelihood without such exertions. Ashahi mechala ha-gufot, which wear out the body. Umemaheret ha-shalmat yemei ha-chaim, and hasten the end of life. People who do a great deal of traveling will live shorter lives because it occupies their energies. They use up their bodies, and therefore they're not capable of living successfully. One of the problems with traveling is exposure to varieties of germs that the traveler may not be immune to. Generally speaking, we're not only protected against our local germs, and therefore when a person goes to different countries, he may fall victim to all kinds of sicknesses. This can happen even if he goes to Eretz Yisrael. This is especially true when he's worn out from the trip and immediately wants to go and look at the land. At that point, his resistance is lower because of the travel, and on top of that, he is vulnerable to unfamiliar diseases. Very interesting point. If a person goes traveling, it says says that after the travel and the long distance is over, to actually stop and rest. Many times we get off the plane, we just got to Israel, or we just got to wherever we're traveling to, we want to go and travel and have fun, etc. It's saying here that when a person gets to a new place, he should stop and take a nap. As it is written, he afflicted my strength in the road and he shortened my days. A traveler's tale. By the way, if anybody has any questions in the middle, you can stop and ask them. A traveler's tale. And the story is told about one of the pious people who set out on a far-off journey for his livelihood. In the beginning of his career of being a servant to Hashem, and he encountered one of the idol worshippers in the town where he went, which may have been in the Far East. So this pious Jew said to the idol worshipper, "Kama atem betochlita yurim, how blind you people are, umiyuta avana ba'avodatchem lekochavim, and how little is the understanding that you have in serving your idols, which are nothing but a piece of wood." Amar lo hamgushi, the idolater who was a priest in this idol worship said to him, and this is very funny that this week's parasha is Parashat Yitro Kohen Midyan, "Uma ata oved, and what do you worship?" Amar le'aparush, the pious Jew said, "Ani oved abore hayachol, I serve the Creator who is all powerful. Hamechalkel ha'echad, the one who sustains all. Hamatrif, who feeds the world. Asha en kamohu, the one that there is none like him." Amar lo amgushi, so the idolater said to him, "Pa'olecha sote devarecha, that may be, but your present actions contradict your words." Amar le ha'parush ve'ech, so the pious Jew said to him, "How so?" Amar lo, so the idolater said to him, "Ilu haya ma she'amarta emet, if what you were saying is true, haya matrifecha be'irecha, he would provide you with sustenance in your home city, kemo she'itrefa hena, just as he is providing you here in the Far East. You could just as well have gotten your livelihood in your home city. Why did you have to travel all the way here to look for a livelihood? Ve'lo ha'ita torach levo el eretz rechoka kazot, and you would not have needed to bother coming to such a far off city. If you believe that Hashem supports you, why didn't you remain in your hometown?" And so the argument of the pious Jew was cut short. And he went back to his country. From that time on, he took upon himself the principle of abstinence, to abstain from traveling for unnecessary things. And he never left the city after that. You see here in this very interesting story that sometimes the person says, "I trust Hashem and everything's going to come from Hashem." But you see in his ishtadlut, in his physical labor, it shows the complete opposite. So not only do we have to trust Hashem by saying it, but we also have to trust Hashem with our actions. Freedom from exhausting labor. Umehen, also among the benefits are menuchat ha-nefesh ve'aguf min ha-ma'asim ha-kashim. I want to actually say an interesting point. When I was in yeshiva, the rabbi always used to tell us that you used to tell me, "Jonathan, if you're going to become a janitor or work on Wall Street, you're going to make the same exact money that you're meant to make. Who knows, maybe working as a janitor, someone will suggest you a crypto or a stock to buy, whatever it is, and you're going to make your living there." There's actually, I think we said this in the beginning of the class, there's a person who lives in Ramat Shlomo. I'm not suggesting anybody to do this, but every single year on Rosh Hashanah, he opens up, let's say, the stock trade, the stock market, and he buys one random stock. And every single year, after Kippur, or before Kippur, or I think before Rosh Hashanah actually, he sells the stock. So every single year, he buys a random stock, and at the end of the year, he sells it, and somehow, some way, he always makes a profit and makes income for the year. Obviously, it's a very, very high level to do. It's a crazy thing to even think about, and I'm not recommending anybody to do this, to try this at home. But you see from here that if you really trust Hashem and you mean it, and you have your relationship with Him, where you really understand Hashem and He understands you, it's possible to do that. It says, we say every single day before Ashrei, according to how much a person trusts in Hashem, that's to the extent that they're going to have to exert labor in the physical world. And to the extent that we trust Hashem and know that everything is coming from Hashem, that's the extent of how much we're gonna have to work. That's why if a person, of course, this is a young crowd, if you guys are looking to start your career, to do a certain job, pick a career that you love to do. Do not pick something that just for the material. You're gonna make what you're meant to make regardless. You're gonna be working, you're gonna meet someone, someone's gonna open up for you. Let Hashem run His world. But the last thing that a person should do when looking for a career and for a job is to do something that they don't want to do. Pick a career that you love to do, and do your best, and let Hashem do the rest. Freedom from exhausting labor. Umehen, also among the benefits are, and also just to talk about, we also just passed idol worship. I want to just say, idol worship is not just worshiping an idol. Some people think that, in order to worship idols, I have to believe that this you know, this material can bring me my salvation. That's not the only form of idol worship. There's a pasuk that says, "Hamchadesh b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereshit." God is constantly recreating the world. So technically, if you think about it, if a person feels bad about a decision they made last night, that's also a form of idolatry because you're worshiping the person that you used to be. And what does the Yetzer Hara do? He comes to us and tries to pose in front of us an image of, "Oh, look at what you did. This is who you are." And I'm coming to tell you, no. The whole purpose in life is to know how to be up and to know how to be down. When you're up, take advantage of the opportunity. Thank Hashem, dance, be with Hashem, smile from ear to ear. But when a person wakes up and is not feeling it, you have to know how to be down too. Like we said before, a person has to know how to cope. A person has to know how to deal with life. A person has to know how to just be okay with not being okay. Because that happens to all of us. That's why a form of idol worship is worshiping the person that you used to be. Just because you made a mistake, it doesn't define you. Just because you did something that you shouldn't have done, it doesn't define you. The beauty of it is that you made that mistake, you can learn from it, and you can choose to move forward in a happy and a healthy way. So another very important piece for us growing people. Also among the benefits are menuchat hanefesh ve'aguf min ha'ma'asim ha'kashim, the peace of mind and body from having to engage in difficult kinds of work. Ve'amelachot including those forms of work that wear out the body. When a man trusts in Hashem to help him find a livelihood, he still has to do something, but he doesn't have to exert himself to do extremely difficult things. We're actually going to see in the later chapter that when a person reaches a certain level of trust in Hashem, a certain spiritual greatness, that amazing things will happen to him, but we'll save it for then. He will be able to forsake the service of the kings. There are people who are eager to make money and they think it's necessary for their livelihood to try to get close to the officers of the king's court, or nowadays to get close to the boss so he'll give us a raise, and so they want to flatter them. They get close to politicians and that occupies their mind. They go to parties with people who are bad influences. They find it necessary to be friendly with such people and spend time with them in order for them to receive something from them. V'chukehem, and he will be able to avoid participating in their celebrations. And he will be able to avoid the violence of their people. He will avoid dealing with difficult and demanding people who might seek to take advantage of him and even victimize him. It's dangerous to get close to the politicians. Who knows what they could do to you when they're overwhelmed by their desires and their ambitions? V'abotech ba'Hashem, but he who trusts in Hashem, hu tova misibot ha-teref, he seeks sources of livelihood, ma sheyesh bo yoter menucha legufo, that offer more rest to his body. You see this amazing point? Not to pick a job that's going to stress your body out, to pick something that's going to be easy on your body because you trust that it comes from Hashem. V'shem tov lo, and to give him a good name. In contrast, if a person has to go to politicians, that gives him a bad name too. If a person has bitachon, he doesn't have to sell out his good name or sell out himself. He doesn't have to become subjected to great difficulties in the course of his work. He will find some moderate kind of livelihood, and he will trust in Hashem that what he is doing now will bring in a livelihood. It doesn't mean he should twiddle his thumbs. It doesn't mean he should just sit and look at the sky, look at the palm trees. No, he's doing things that ordinarily ordinarily could bring in a livelihood. He's doing his best, but that will not necessarily make him very wealthy. So he trusts in Hashem that he will have success. He will be satisfied with a moderate kind of work that doesn't wear out his body and doesn't cause him to lose his good name by mixing with bad company. You know, we think nowadays that just because we go to a shul and see people, or have so much social media on our phone where we see what everyone's doing, or we drive in our car, we see what this person is driving and where that person is living, we kind of put ourselves in a bit of a rat race and a bit of a comparison struggle. But that's the farthest thing from the truth. A person has what he's meant to have, and whatever else is meant to come to that person, they're going to get. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol. I have my purpose in this world. I have my tikkun, my fulfillment, my life that I have to live. And whatever God gave me is for me. So just because people around me have certain things that I may not have, or certain things that I may want to have, has nothing to do with me. That's why it's so important for a person to guard their eyes. Guarding your eyes is not just guarding your eyes from things you shouldn't be looking at. You also shouldn't be looking at things that are not yours. Materialism. Another person's, you know, spouse, or a person's house, or a person's luxury, or a person's beautiful car, or a person's nice watch. We have to guard our eyes from things that are not ours, because it's taking us away from our purpose in this world. That's why social media is so dangerous. I don't know one person who scrolls on Instagram and doesn't feel depressed after literally 20 seconds. It just makes you feel bad. Oh, look, they're having fun. They're meeting that person. They're doing this thing. This thing is happening for them, etc. It's a big world of it's a big illusion. It's a big lie. Even me, a person can look at my social media page and say, wow, look at this guy. He's meeting rabbis. He's meeting people. He's connecting with people. It's the farthest thing from the truth. My life is the farthest thing from perfect. And I struggle just like anybody else. The opposite. Of course, Hashem organized all these meetings for me. And He organized all these connections for me. Baruch Hashem. But I also put in a lot of time and effort to do it. It's the farthest thing from easy. Yes, you guys, the viewers, you get to see a beautiful 60 seconds or 30 seconds of a lot of hard work. But just because that's the highlight of the clip, I'm not going in, like, no one's going to go and post all the hard work and all the effort. Some people do that, vlogs, whatever, but just to highlight the point, whatever you see online is the farthest thing from the truth. Life is not a collection of good moments. Real life is ups and downs and struggles, but the good news is that you have those ups and downs, because if you go to the hospital and see a sick, and you can see a very, very sick person, you see on the heart monitor ups and downs. It's a very good sign that the person's living. When it goes flat, Houston, we have a problem. But as long as life has ups and has downs and there's difficulties, it's a very good indicator that Hashem loves you and is crazy about you and wants you to succeed, wants you to trust Him, and wants you to grow. And interestingly enough, we're talking about politicians. There's a verse in Tehillim that says, "Bemit komemecha et katat." When David HaMelech used to go to all the viceroys and kings and rulers of the world to go and to talk to them about Torah, maybe making a collaboration with Israel back then, etc., with the armies and whatnot, they used to talk to them about all of their idol worship and everything that they're doing and all the immorality they're involved in. And what did David HaMelech do? B'mit komemecha et katat. He would come to all these kings and rulers in the world, even though he wanted to work with them, even though he wanted to make a dealing with them. What would he do? He would talk about Hashem and talk about the truth. And if they would say something that contradicts his truth, the global divine truth, he would put it in their face, showing you that no matter what you want to achieve, and by the way, David HaMelech was probably the most successful ruler of all time, him and Shlomo together. So just showing you that whenever you want to receive something from someone, or whenever you feel like you really have to do a certain thing in order for something to go a certain way, it's the farthest thing from the truth. If you're a guy in the business world and you want to keep Shomer Negiyah and a girl comes to shake your hand, you can say respectfully, it's my value not to shake your hand. Or if they're having a meeting and they're serving not kosher food, you think, oh, well, if I'm not going to eat the food, they're going to get offended. No, you're allowed to have values, you're allowed to have principles, and that's really the showing Hashem in the business world that you're trusting Him. Because the whole purpose of working is not to slave away and to work 12 hours a day. The purpose of work is to show Hashem, are you on team Hashem or are you on team Kochi Ve'Atzem Yadi? You think you're making the money? Okay, go think you're making the money. Enjoy. Have a great time. Hashem's presence leaves you. All of a sudden, you're getting parking tickets. You're getting phone calls. The IRS is auditing you. Everything is going to you know where. Why? Because Hashem left. But the minute that we trust Hashem, everything goes amazingly. By the way, I think we said this last week, but just an interesting point to say it again. Every day, there's a cheshbon, there's a calculation in Shamayim, how much a person has to struggle and to go through. Every single day. That's why Hashem says, measure for measure. When you take upon yourself all Torah, when you take upon yourself spiritual struggles, and to pray, to learn, to read Tehillim, to go to Minyan, to wake up early. It's not easy to go to shul in the morning. Me and Ariel, right? We go to Netz every single morning. It's not easy to wake up before the sun, to wake up the sun, good morning sun, and to go to shul and etc. It's not an easy thing to do. But when you take upon yourself, I'm sure he could testify, he's seen miracles since he started doing Netz. When a person takes upon themselves spiritual burdens, Hashem will take away the rest of the burden from the day. All of a sudden, pitom, you come to the office, everything's going smoothly. All your dealings throughout your day, everything's going smooth. Why is everything going smooth? Because you're doing the right things. The more that you take upon yourself the proper burdens, you're not going to have to go through all the silly burdens throughout your day. All of a sudden, the right girl's going to come, or the right guy at the right exact time, the dating's going to be smooth, and before you know it, like David, within the month, you're engaged. Or you can say, you know what, I want to do things my way. I'm going to download a million dating apps. I'm going to contact every single matchmaker. I'm going to search so desperately to find my other half. Or I'm going to search so desperately to make a living or whatever a person's looking to do. And you're going to see, the more you try and think it's coming from you, the more you're just going to get pushed back. Let go, calm down, smile. Everything's okay. Hashem's running the world. Let Him run His world. You don't know what you're doing, right? That's the ultimate humility, by the way, because the beginning of coming closer to Hashem is recognizing that you know nothing. Literally, I don't know anything. I don't even know what I'm doing at all. I just trust Hashem. I'm just going with God. Hashem, you want me to go here? I'm going to go here. You want me to go there? We're going to go there. I'm not going. It's you. I can't even put my shoes on in the morning. But with Hashem, He takes you and He'll lead your entire life for you. Just trust Him and stop thinking that it's you doing everything. let's continue. Ufna lelibo. Furthermore, the one who trusts in Hashem will have more leisure for his mind. Umashehu mefik yoter lechovot torato. And turn the page for those things that will help him carry out obligations of his Torah. Wow, we literally just spoke about this, and we see it inside. Hashgacha pratit. Hashem's here. I don't see him, but he's here. Im yeter emunato, with the rest of his devotion of emunatu Hashem. That's the work, by the way. When someone asks you, what do you do for a living? You're not a doctor, you're not a lawyer. I serve God, and this is what I do on the side to make a little income. A person's idealism, his loyalty to Hashem, and his avodat Hashem will be more successful if he avoids doing these superfluous things, such as going out of his way to mingle with company that will perhaps give him a success among his among the politicians. He forsakes these things, including difficult and dangerous work, because Hashem doesn't want you to do that. And it will give him peace of mind and the ability to carry out all the obligations of the Torah. Hashem wants you to learn and to be happy, and Hashem wants you to have a good life, not to go crazy all day long and drive yourself nuts. That includes not only mitzvot that all Jews do, but also the mitzvot of the mind, including reflection, emunah, bitachon. I'm going to include here exercise, meditation, spending time with friends, and so on. Ki asiba lo tosif lo b'chuko. For such superfluous sources of income are not going to add anything to what's decreed for him. Velo techaserehu mimenu meuma, and won't detract anything from it. And this is for the men. This is a very, very big point for the men. Because as men, we're givers. You come to your girl with a smile, she'll give you one right back. You come to her with a frown, you're going to get 20 back. And how do you make sure as a man that you're smiling when you're single and you're broke and everything you think is not going your way? Get close to Hashem. Because the minute that we as men get close to Hashem and become a giver, we're able to give to the woman properly as the receiver, and she'll take that potential and bring out the most from you. I think personally that a true Eshet Chayil, she doesn't really care if you have money, she doesn't care if things are going for you. A woman wants to see, are you doing your best and you're treating her good? If you're doing your best, you're treating her good, and the only way to do that is to get close to Hashem. There's no other way to do that. Then everything else will open up for you. When a person works, he should know that the sources of income, like selling, business, trading merchandise, even being a farmer, are not going to help him. He's doing it because it's his duty. But it's nothing more than the word of Hashem that causes a man to have a livelihood. Again, it's nothing more than the word of Hashem that causes a man to have a livelihood. Nothing will change for him unless it is by the decree of Hashem. As it says, Ki lo mimutzah mima'arav, for neither from sunrise, from a distant place where you go forth, nor from sunset in the west, v'lo mimidbar harim, and not from the wilderness of mountains. Don't think like travelers and explorers that your wealth has to come from discovering gold mines and who knows what in far off places. Ki Elohim shofet. This is one of the most important psukim in this sefer. If I were you guys, I would take a picture of it. Ki Elohim shofet. For Hashem is the judge who decides. Ze yashpil v'ze yarim. He lowers one person and he raises up another. This is probably one of my favorite verses of all time, because it just goes to show you how Hashem in the blink of an eye can raise one person and lower the next. Who is it incumbent on for that to happen? Us. Hashem wants to raise us, but we have to allow Him to, by not being a victim, by not walking around all day sad, by not reacting to things, by not thinking that bad things are happening to us. No, everything good is happening for you. You are a lot stronger than you think you are. You have a lot more strength tapped into yourself than you think you are. You're not lost, you just want to be lost. Everything in your life is incredible and amazing. Just find the good points in yourself. Find the good points in yourself, walk around with a smile, and know that God is running the world, and all you have to do is do your best. I'm not just saying this. We have to actually live this, guys. We have to live this on our day-to-day basis. And even when we're not feeling good, we're waking up, we're not in the best of moods, etc., that is the time to say, Hashem, I'm not feeling the best right now, but I'm pushing through, I'm trusting you. Put on a smile. Smiles open doors in life. When you smile, Hashem smiles back at you. Therefore, a person who runs around doing dangerous things, looking for a living in out-of-the-way places or out-of-the-way ways, he should know he's making a mistake. Whatever he does, it's Hashem and not the vocational choices that is bringing about his livelihood. V'amar, and it says, Hashem ro'i lo echsar. Hashem is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Binot desheya bitzeni, amem nuchot inahaleni. He causes me to lie down in the meadows of grass. He leads me by the still waters. Meaning that when a person trusts Hashem, that Hashem is their shepherd, he's not going to lack anything. And really, your life should be exactly like that. Walking on grass, walking by the water, enjoying your time, enjoying your day, enjoying your life. Because that's what you're meant to do. The more that you enjoy, the more you're going to receive. People think it's the opposite. I have to stress out. I have to worry about it. I have to fix it. When you're worrying and fixating and stressing and controlling, you're not allowing Hashem to operate and to do His job. It says in Masechet Sota, in Tractate Sota, in the Gemara, on page 5b, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kol Adam Sheyesh Bo Gasot Ruach, En Ani Ve'u Yecholim Lador Ba'olam. God is saying in the Gemara that any person that has ego, meaning he thinks that he's running his life, God's saying, me and him, we can't dwell in the same world. Because the minute that you're fixating and trying to control things and worrying about things, you're not allowing God to come in to do His job. You let go and let Hashem. It's very practical, but it's so deep. Let go of what's going on and let Hashem. It's not easy to let go. I know you're holding on to it. It's really important to you. You want it to go a certain way. Try. God's not looking for the perfect outcome. Oh, I let go. I let Hashem. All of a sudden, no. It's about the relationship. It's about doing your best. It's about the process. Try, and you're going to see that it will get better. You're going to have moments. Like for me, my biggest moment of the week is before Shabbat comes in. After a long week of working hard, before Shabbat and on Shabbat itself, I have a lot of peace and serenity. I'm like, wow, everything that happened this week, it really worked out for the best. And sometimes in the day too, throughout the day, you have good moments, you have harder moments. But to know that you just have to do your best to put on a smile. Sometimes you can literally change the entire shift of your day by just faking a smile, by just pushing out a conversation with Hashem, by speaking when you don't want to. Hashem, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm not feeling good right now. Please help me get out of this slump. And you can see instantaneously. I'm telling you right now from my personal experience, from my life, from my experience in this world of my soul. Every time I pray to Hashem, He answers me. Every time I pray to God and ask Him for something, but not when I'm trying to control it. Specifically when I give God the control. When I say, Hashem, let's say I'm not in the mood right now. Please help me. 5 minutes later, I don't know what happens. The wind comes into me. I'm back into my Jonathan spirit. But the opposite. I try to fix it on my own. I try to go to the gym. I run. I'm meditating, listening to music. Nothing's working. But the second I ask Hashem to help me, He helps me. He just wants to hear you speak to Him. It's so practical and so simple. It really is simple. Yes, life is difficult, but we kind of make it difficult. It's really simple when you have the right information and you have the right toolbox. Ask Hashem for help, and Hashem's going to help you. Reduction. No, Hashem is like a shepherd. He leads His flock in a peaceful way. Therefore, we don't have to go into deserts or into mountains for our livelihood. Hashem will help us even in our own hometown if we live a normal life and trust in Him. Reduction, and you can see it, by the way, nowadays that people work from home, they do things online, etc. It's very, very practical and easy to apply. Reduction in aggravation in business dealings. Umahen, also, any questions so far, by the way? Are we good? Yeah.
Were you talking about the traveler?
No, even if you're going on vacation, it's actually a halakha that the second you land, let's say you go to Israel and you get to Ben Gurion, you drive to, Yerushalayim, you're staying in the Citadel Hotel. You right away, you want to go to the Kotel, you want to explore. It's saying here, no, take a nap and rest. Because it's a lot deeper than just, it's not just like some random, pop-up, oh, when you travel, take a nap. It's a lot deeper than that. It's showing that when a person is exerting, Hashem doesn't want you to exert too much physically. Hashem wants you to take time for yourself, to rest. So if you feel like you're having a hard day, take a nap. Stop things. Relax. Give your body what it's asking for. If you feel like you're running on low sleep, then you need to go sleep. If you feel like you're hungry, go eat something. Hashem is teaching you here in the Shaar Bitachon that He wants you to take care of your body. He wants you to take care of yourself. Because obviously, your soul rests in this body. And the Rambam says that if a person is not taking care of their body, they're very far from Hashem. So it just shows how important it is to take care of your physical health and to take care of your body's needs. Does that clarify? Any other questions? Okay, beautiful. Reduction in aggravation in business dealings. Umehen. Also, among the benefits are, mi'ut sa'ar nafsho, a reduction in the distress that a person feels if his merchandise doesn't sell. Even if people don't buy his merchandise, he knows that he has done his duty. He has provided proper merchandise, and he is located in a place where it's expected to be sold. Although it didn't happen as he expected, he knows that Hashem is in charge and everything will turn out for the best anyhow. People without bitachon are likely to go home distressed in such a case. Many times it affects their health. I'm actually going to say a story. I think we said it a week or two ago, but it's interestingly enough, we started the class tonight with the Chafetz Chaim. So we'll say a story about the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim in Poland, he had a store where he sold fruits and vegetables and whatnot. And his business was Baruch Hashem. He did it with his wife together, and his business Baruch Hashem was booming. All of a sudden, he had a competitor that opened up across the street, opened up the same exact type of a store, and for some reason, no customers are coming his way. So this guy will call him Shimon. He goes to the Chafetz Chaim and his wife and says, "Listen, I opened a store across the street from you. I'm looking to make an income. No one's coming to my store. Is there anything that you can do?" So Chafetz Chaim and his wife think about it, like, okay, fine, we're open from 8 hours a day, we're gonna close half the day. We're gonna open only for 4 hours a day. So now the next week comes, Shabbat passes by, they start this new cycle. They're only open for 4 hours a day. For those specific 4 hours, everyone comes to the Chafetz Chaim and not to the Shimon across the street. He comes back, complains again, they cut it in half again, only 2 hours a day. Same thing happens again. Everyone comes to the Chafetz Chaim, not to Shimon across the street. And they cut it in half again, where he's only open 1 hour a day. They end up closing for half the week. And for some reason, everyone's coming to the Chafetz Chaim and not to Shimon. He keeps coming back, he keeps complaining. So the Chafetz Chaim keeps minimizing. They go from opening up a couple days a week to 1 day a week. And finally, they close the entire storefront. And the Chafetz Chaim opens the store in the back of the building. And the people specifically came in the limited time slot to the Chafetz Chaim store all the way in the back. And no one was coming to Shimon. Until finally, Chafetz Chaim said, "You know, Shimon, maybe you have to start trusting in Hashem a little bit and stop thinking that I'm the one that's stealing your customers away from you." And in that moment, the Chafetz Chaim and his wife together decided, you know what, let's close the business altogether. And that was actually what made the Chafetz Chaim who he is today. Then he started to go into learning more. He authored Sefer Chafetz Chaim, Shmat Lashon, and of course, all of his works published as you can see today. How? Through Emunah and Bitachon. And it just goes to show, when a person really trusts in Hashem and gets to that level, me too, by the way, I worry, I stress, I get anxiety. I'm not saying that this is an instant pill, but I do see the progress and I definitely see the results. I definitely see that since I started learning about Bitachon, throughout the years, it's gotten so much tremendously better. You do see progress, you do see results. And one thing I can say for sure that works for me, the best thing out of anything, is constantly talking to Hashem and learning Torah. Because the Torah, it burns the Yetzirah inside of you, and the water in a way pierces you and makes you feel very good inside, and you just know that Hashem is running your life and taking care of it. But obviously, the level of the Chafetz Chaim, you can imagine, he was not worrying at all. There was no fear whatsoever. And we can all get to that level. It's not something that's like far-fetched, I'll never be able to get there. No, the opposite. Every person can become great. You don't have to go become the Chafetz Chaim, but go become the best David, become the best Arya, become the best, I don't know the girl's name, become the best Sarah, Rivka, whatever it is. Become the best you. And ask yourself, how do I become the best version of myself? You don't have to mold yourself after someone else. You know, anyone ever hear of Rabbi Eli Mansour? He was once being interviewed and they asked him, how'd you become such a great orator, such a great speaker? And he said, I never copied other speakers. I just speak in my style. And that's why he became so famous and so popular, because he just became the best Eli Mansour that he could be. And the same thing for me. I don't go and copy other speakers or other ways of doing things. I have my style, my Jonathan way of doing things. And that's what I like to do. And everyone should really look into their own life and be the best them. Especially when it comes to dating. You don't want to come and sell a different product. You want to come as yourself and be yourself. And that's really when you allow the connection to happen. So, back to the Sefer. Even if people don't buy his merchandise, he knows that he has done his duty. He has provided proper merchandise and he is located in a place where it's expected to be sold. Although it didn't happen as he expected, he knows that Hashem is in charge and everything will turn out for the best anyhow. People without bitachon are likely to go home distressed in such a case. Many times it affects their health. Oh, im lo yuchal ligbot chovo. Or, if there's a debt owing to him and he doesn't see the possibility of collecting the debt, this is another source of aggravation. Some people become very excited in such a circumstance. But the person with bitachon, by the way, when it says excited here, it doesn't mean excited, it means like very stressed out. But the person with bitachon knows that he's ultimately going to get what's owed to him. And by the way, that's why the Gemara calls a thief a fool, because where are you stealing from? That money that you stole, 100 grand, is meant to come to you anyways. You just stole it, you just took it before its time. People don't understand that God actually runs the world. It's not a slogan, it's a reality. Another source of aggravation is if he encounters some illness in his body. A person with bitachon knows that the purpose is for some good benefit. For he knows that the Creator is improving his state more than he knows how to improve it. Again, a A person knows that the Creator, Hashem, God, is improving his state more than he knows how to do it. That's why we have to trust God and let him do his job. Just because we don't see it happening doesn't mean that it's not happening. It's happening, and believe me, it's happening. Just let Hashem do his job and be patient. Sometimes in life, it's a time to go and a time for the brakes. Press the brakes and let Hashem drive. If Hashem thinks he needs to make an operation on his character by causing him to have some illness, the benefit will surely be so great that it will outweigh any kind of distress or loss. The person with bitachon knows that Hashem chooses better benefits for him than he is capable of choosing for himself. As it says, let my soul hope and be silent to Hashem, because my hope comes from Him. My hope comes from God. I don't rely on material reasons for feeling successful and happy. I know that my success comes from Hashem. So no matter what the circumstances are, I am always calm and confident that Hashem will do what's right for me. Isn't that such a beautiful line? Let's read it again. I don't rely on material reasons for feeling successful and happy. We spoke about this in the beginning of the class. Where is your happiness coming from? I didn't even prepare this. This is happening because of Hashgacha Pratit. Where is that person's happiness coming from? From Hashem, not material. I know that my success comes from Hashem. So no matter what the circumstances are, I am always calm and confident that Hashem will do what's right for me, because I'm trusting God. Increase in joy of life. Umehen, any questions? Okay. Umehen, also among the benefits are simchato bechol inyan sheyatikehu elav ve'imiyeh kenegativo. His happiness in any kind of circumstance in which Hashem places him, even though it's against this man's nature. Let's say a person perceives his or her spouse to be the wrong person for their needs. This person is happy anyway, as it is for his or her benefit. While living peacefully and tolerantly with each other, they're improving each other's character. In the end, they're going to gain a very great level of excellence that was planned by Hashem from the beginning. Let's say he has a neighbor he doesn't like. He must learn to adjust. He should endeavor to be on good terms with the neighbor and always greet him with a friendly face. Even if the neighbor doesn't respond, he should realize that it's all for his benefit. Hashem put him next door to that neighbor in order to make him more excellent in his own midot and character. So he realizes that all the things that happen in life are for a good purpose. He dislikes the heat, but he knows that the heat causes the fruit on the tree to become ripe. So he's satisfied, even though he would have preferred a cooler temperature. He knows that otherwise he wouldn't have food to eat. So when anything occurs against his wishes, even though it would displease an ordinary person, but we're not ordinary anymore because we're learning Emunah and Bitachon, it does not cause the person with Bitachon to become unhappy, because he knows that whatever Hashem is doing is for the best. Because of his trust in Hashem, the person with Bitachon knows that Hashem won't do anything to him except what's the best for him in all things. It is as a mother who has pity on her son's acts. When she's bathing him, the baby doesn't want to be bathed and he's kicking against her. He's crying because he doesn't know that his mother is doing it only for his benefit, to clean him. When she is diapering him, and she's swaddling him and unswaddling him in the diapers. Al korcho, it's all against the baby's will. The child feels uncomfortable because he doesn't realize that the mother is doing everything for his own benefit. Hashem does everything for our own benefit. So the person with bitachon knows that even if he isn't always comfortable or doesn't always see why it's happening or why this has to happen right now, it's for his welfare and for his ultimate good. Kemo she'amar David HaMelech alav ha-shalom. It is as David HaMelech said, Im lo shiviti veromamti nafshi kegumal alai, imo kagamul alai nafshi. Have I not stilled and quieted my soul like a suckling child at his mother's side, like the suckling child is my soul? With everything that I had in the world and with all my experiences, I felt that Hashem was like a mother to me. It's a very beautiful line. He was doing it for my benefit. It's one of the big benefits of a person having bitachon. Such a person is always calm and satisfied because he knows that even though it doesn't seem to be the best of circumstances, nevertheless, it's for his benefit. This concept can be illustrated with the following analogy. In medieval Europe, the Jews were locked in ghettos. They couldn't move out and settled in other places. This seemed very uncomfortable for them. The truth is, however, it was a very big benefit for them. First of all, it kept them away from becoming a assimilated with the Gentiles. Second, the ghetto walls protected them from harm. If they would have had to mingle with the Gentiles would have persecuted them. The Gentiles couldn't come inside the ghettos because the walls kept them out. The Jew who lived inside his ghetto walls understood that it was for his benefit. He knew that it was making him more secure in his physical existence and more secure in his spiritual life. That's how everything else is in this world. If we understand that everything Hashem does is for our benefit, then we're going to have beautiful, amazing lives. And that's what we're going to conclude for today. And I'd like to end by saying that, you know, many times a person feels that, you know, maybe things aren't going their way, or I wish certain things would happen a certain way, or I wish that, you know, I'd have this amount of things by now, or I'd be married by now, or have a certain amount of money by now, or have children by now, etc., whatever it is. But a person has to remind himself of two things. Number one, when you need something big from Hashem, you have to give Him something big. And the second thing is that God doesn't hate you. The opposite. Hashem loves you and is crazy about you and truly, truly wants the best for you. Hashem wants you to be happy. Hashem wants you to be thriving. You know. Today I was listening to a speech in person by a place that I work at. And there was a lady who came and she was talking, and she was a blind lady who was barely able to see. And she was talking about the beauty of sound. And we just see... We see in our own lives every single day we wake up, we're able to see, we're able to hear, we're able to speak. Many people don't have these privileges. As much as a person wants to become a billionaire, chas v'shalom, if a person wakes up tomorrow and is blind, how much money would you pay to regain your sight? There's no amount of money in the world for these things. So as much as we want to be rich, we should know that we're rich already. The fact that we're able to wake up, move our arms, stretch, to complain that we have pain in our back, you know, like we have so many blessings and amazing, beautiful things in our life. And really, we're all rich people. We're all really fortunate people. And all Hashem wants for us is to do our best and to let Him do the rest, and to connect to Him through learning Torah, through studying Torah, and through learning it with intensity, learning it with passion, and coming closer to Hashem. Because the more that we come closer to Hashem, the more everything in our life seems to just work out. Because out of all the mitzvot in the Torah, and this is also to conclude about Lashon Hara, and about the power of speech, the same mouth that can speak Lashon Hara and can be used to completely destroy a person's life and to destroy the lives of the people around them, and believe me, I've seen it happen firsthand, that same mouth can be used to learn to study Torah. Because 1 hour of Torah study, limud Torah keneged kulam, 1 hour of Torah study is 60,000 mitzvot. And we just hit the 1 hour mark, so we just hit 60,000 mitzvot and counting. Think about it. You go through your day, you give an old lady a ride, one mitzvah. Minyan, one mitzvah. You give $5 to tzedakah, another mitzvah. It could take you an hour to complete 10, 15 mitzvot. That same hour can be used to complete 60,000 mitzvot. Are you a good investor? Start investing your time wisely. A person's driving in the car, you have an hour drive. Listen to a shiur Torah. You have free time in your schedule, or you don't have free time in your schedule, carve out the time. Schedule God around your day. Don't schedule your day around God. And when you go measure for measure, and schedule, if you have a certain job that doesn't permit you to learn Torah, I'm telling you, quit the job. I approve this message. Don't have a life that doesn't allow you to have time for spirituality. A person needs at least an hour, two, three a day, or else you're not going to have your head straight, obviously according to your means. But we have to commit time to learning Torah and to studying it, because it's the most powerful thing that a person can do. And Bezrat Hashem, we just studied for an hour. I can guarantee you we all feel a lot better now than when we first walked in. Why? Because we gave our food, we gave our soul the food that it needs. The same way you have to eat and drink, the soul also needs to eat and drink. And this is the food of the soul. So Bezrat Hashem, we should continue to learn, to grow, to come closer to Hashem, and to understand that when we learn Torah, we're creating for ourselves a melitz yosher. A person wants to get married, to have success in business, to have a better marriage, whatever a person is looking for in their life, to feel happy, etc. Happiness comes from being free. Freedom is not financial. Freedom is freedom from the Yetzer Hara. And how do you free yourself from the Yetzer Hara, from all the negativity and the bad thoughts and the sadness and the depression, etc.? By burning the Yetzer Hara through learning of Torah. And when the person learns Torah and connects to Hashem on the highest way possible, you will start to see miracles in your life. Yes, Hashem put you through 9 months of pregnancy and labor, and through all the craziness and madness of your life, just to get here to this class, to this very moment, to hear this message. Learning Torah will unlock everything for you in your life. life. And the more a person learns and studies, the more a person sacrifices. I know friends that literally were on the wrong paths, started learning 2-3 hours a day, fast forward a couple months, all married with kids. The more a person learns and studies Torah, they are getting themselves closer to their purpose in life and getting themselves closer to God, which is ultimately the purpose of this entire creation and world. And there's nothing better to do than to learn Torah. My name is Jonathan Ben Shimol. Thank you all for coming, and I approve this message.